Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study. Let's get into these two different families. We kind of see a family that certainly knows how to pray, a family that's certainly coming to the tabernacle of meeting for the right reasons. You know, we certainly see Elkanah gathering his wives and taking them up there and taking the kids and giving them portions to participate in the act of worship with God and offerings. And it's an interactive thing that's going on. He's certainly a guy that's committed to this, don't you think? And his family. I see that very clearly. And now let's look at this situation with Eli and his sons. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. So that pretty much tells it the story, huh? Not in total, but yes. It's a composite of all the things we're going to read. They're corrupt. They did not know the Lord. What an indictment. These guys are to be in the priestly order. You know? They're to act as priests. Their dad is a priest, and they're to act as priests. And look at how, as we read along, we find out what they were like. But they did not know the Lord. This tells me something. Parents, there is no guarantee because you know God that your kids are going to know God. So there's things we can do to help that work out. There are things we can do. There are things that we can do proactively. But because you know God is not a guarantee that they are going to know God. Again, there are proactive things we can learn about and we can do. But just the fact that they were his sons didn't mean that they would know God. They were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. What an indictment. This is just horrible. And the priest's custom, this is some of the actions, some of the things they did. The priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook, in his hand while the meat was boiling. This is all part of like the process of what they would do. You remember they'd offer up these sacrifices. A portion went to the priest. And so some of this is legit, but they didn't do it right. They were grabbing things early, or they were taking more than they should. That's one of the issues. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. They just were taking advantage of the people. There was a portion that belonged to the priest, but these guys were taking this in advance of really all the offering being made. It was to be something that was to be shared between the people and the Lord, and then there was a portion that was set aside for the priests. And so here, as we go along a little further, it gets even worse, some of the things of what they did. And this is just the simple beginnings of it in verses 13 and 14. It gets worse. Verse 15, also before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed. Now remember, why would they burn the fat? The fat was the Lord's. That God said, remember in the Levitical way things were laid out, you know, and all the sacrifice and everything was done. The fat was God's. And that was to be cut off and set apart, and that was going to be offered up before the Lord. Now, if you go to we don't have butcher shops anymore, but when I was a kid, I'd go to the butcher shop. And this is unfortunate, this dates me like this, but if you go to the meat market today or the meat counter at the grocery store, you can find, if you talk to a butcher, some of those guys will tell you, no, the one with the marbling in it, that's going to be the really good steak. It's got the little fat, you know, running through it. Because it's just going to have, it's going to be more tender meat. It's going to be just more flavorful. And it's something that's just, you know, for you vegans, this is making you sick. I know that. But for the rest of us who like to eat meat, it's really an awesome thought. But the idea is that the fat would belong to the Lord. Now, in their culture, in their world, that was the best part of everything. That was the best of it. That was what they wanted. We'll get back to this in just a second. So they would come along and they would, and before this was offered up, before they burned the fat, they would come along and they would say, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. They want the fresh stuff with all the fat on it and everything. They want the best, in their culture, in their minds, that they wanted to take the best for themselves. And if the man said to them, so the guy who's bringing the sacrifice, and he says to them, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Notice this in verse 17, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord, or they despised the offering of the Lord. One of the things, when we back this up just a little bit, go back just a little bit in our thinking, one of the things that we found out in the very get-go was they did not know the Lord. And when you don't know the Lord, when you don't have any relationship, no relationship with God whatsoever, the next thing is there's no fear of God. And you start doing things like that. We're kind of living in an interesting time, I think. Not much different than a lot of the Bible times that we read through and talk about, like tonight. This is what? Just post. This is still just coming off the heels. We just closed out Judges not that long ago in our readings, okay? And Judges, they had, what was the whole thing that they'd done? Every man did what was right in the sight of his own eyes. That was the whole thrust through Judges. They had really no relationship with God and no fear of God. They'd get into trouble. It was just this whole sin cycle that we talked about and how it happens. They had no relationship with God. Therefore, there's no fear of God. And this is the sad part in verse 17. Because of them, people despised giving to God. And it's really interesting when you watch, and you watch people pour out in an event or situation where there's, like we're watching the earthquake information starting to trickle in from New Zealand right now. And, you know, people want to help, and they just like we saw it with Haiti and different things that have had Chile and all over the world. We see different events and different things happen. And as we watch those things, there's all this outpouring of resources and help. But one of the things that's so upsetting is the corruption that happens in the mix of it. It's not really getting to the people sometimes. People are taking that and doing something else with it, with that resource that was meant for the people. The people had a right heart in giving what they were doing. But what happens is it kind of makes you abhor it, or it kind of makes you despise that because they're taking advantage of or making merchandise of in that sense. So it's kind of a real sad thing when we see the way things are presented. Like we offered opportunities, as you guys saw on Sunday mornings, we're offering opportunities for people to partner with us. This is past tithe and offering in our general sense of fellowship. This is an opportunity to partner with, you know, the radio station, for example, because it's something that's fruitful. It's something that's happening in our community, that's an outreach to our community. And we're saying, hey, will you partner with us in the Lord to continue on to reach out to God? It's an opportunity. I really see it that way. And I've given the illustration over and over again. If I had run into Paul the Apostle 2,000 years ago, and, you know, we're hanging around Troas, and he goes, dude, I had this radical vision the other night. And, you know, I saw this guy from Macedonia, and we're taking off tomorrow. We're on our way to Macedonia. Listen, if I had any money on me at all, dude, listen, can I help buy some of your tickets or anything? I want to be a part of this. I can't leave, but I want to be a part of this. You know, that's partnering with. That's a practical. Why? Because it's fruitful. It's an opportunity. It's that God honors that. And I seek the blessing that goes to your account, not the gift, is what Paul said. And I believe that to be true over and over and over again. Because I see it from an eternal perspective. As we invest in those things, those are eternal opportunities that then pay eternal dividends. And I really believe that. I mean, I believe that with my whole being. And so it's not some gimmick. It's not some, God's not broke. God's not broke. It's interesting. Go back and forth and through your Bible and find out. You see Jesus, where he talks to Peter and says, I have need of your boat, Peter. Push me off a little bit from shore. Well, wait a minute. In a few chapters later, we're going to see him walking out on the water. You know, that's what you do when you walk on water. I practice once in a while. No, but you get what I'm saying. He walked out on the water. Why did he need the boat? He's always looking to partner with us. Always. Jesus is, he could have just spoke the whole thing into being. No. Little kid, Andrew, finds this little kid. A couple loaves, a few fish. Will you give, you know, what are these among so many? But you give it to Jesus, and all of a sudden it takes care of thousands. I really believe this, you see? I mean, I really believe it. I believe it to be true. It's an opportunity. What these guys are doing is by force pushing people to take things, and we hear it all the time. We hear it on the airwaves, and we hear it also through the television and people telling us that God's broke and that if you don't jump on board and become a part of helping God push his agenda forward, his whole thing is just going to cave in. You know, I don't believe that. I think that's trash talking God, simply stated. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that I'm absolutely 100% sure that God knows exactly where every last speck of valuable ore is on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, what is that to God? In eternity, there's no asphalt. It's gold. The streets are gold. It's just getting the right mindset on it. All it is a medium of exchange, a commodity of exchange. It's just, whether it's seashells or walnuts or whatever, who cares? You know, it's just a matter of getting this to that to do this with that, you know, just to let God do what he wants to do in and through our lives. These guys were obstructing that. They're obstructing it, and now people are abhorring or despising even giving unto the Lord in their offerings, you see, because they're being taken advantage of and pushed and, you know. People say, well, what are you guys going to do about a building, you know, eventually? And I said, well, I'm just waiting for the phone to ring. I tell the same story over and over again. That's what I am. I'm waiting for the phone to ring. Well, that's not, you know, that seems ridiculous. I don't know. Think so? I don't think it's that ridiculous. That's how I ended up living where I live. Literally. My phone rang. This is no joke. That's how we ended up with the radio station we have. My phone rang. And I'm serious about all this. I really believe and trust God can do what God wants to do. Now, I'm not saying he wants to partner us. We had to take steps of faith in that. And we have to walk in that with the Lord. Hey, you guys, listen. Just go out down into the city. I'm going to go up and kind of get things ready up in the upper room. But you guys, go down to this place over there, and you're going to go around this corner, and around this corner, you can see this little colt tied up. And just untie him and bring it. Well, what are we going to say when the guy that owns it, I just tell him the master has need of it. Tell him the master has need of it. It's an interesting concept. Jesus needing anything is a weird concept to me. But he chooses that in order to partner with us. It's a great truth. We can't spend any more time on that, but it's a great truth. What about the fat thing? Let's talk about that real quick. We'll move through this fast. The fat thing's an interesting thing. Because now we found out, right? We found out now that we're not supposed to eat that. Fat makes us fat, and it's not good for us, right? It's just that simple. It's not good for your body to eat that much of that type of a product. So was God really wanting the best? Or is he really taking something that he could consume in a fire and protect his people? So often, you guys, the things that God's trying to say, hey, don't do that, it's his very hand of protection. Give that to me. Think of the things that some of us have given to him. Our addictions, you know, some of the filth of the world that polluted our lives, you know. We give it to him, he just consumes it. But it's an offering to him because we gave something that we wanted to hang on to in our flesh, but that we knew we wanted to give to him because we knew it would consume us ultimately. It's a great truth. It's an interesting concept. You guys contemplate that, work through that through the rest of the week. Verse 18. Now, so we've seen this awfulness that's going on with one family. And now we see, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. Look at this contrast. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. What a cool little kid, man. He's just hanging around, you know, serving God. He, look at you guys, until we get into chapter 3, he's got no real depth of relationship necessary with the Lord. He's just obediently serving the Lord. He's just available. He's doing his thing. He's just around. He's around the house of God doing his thing. That's cool. It's okay. You know what? There were times where Lo had to travel sometimes, and I would, you know, she'd be at a women's retreat or something. I have a wedding scheduled, and I've got these three wild fellers, you know, sitting still in any event was not likely, much less a wedding. And, you know, they've got to go with me sometimes. Those were the situations. And they don't know why they're supposed to be anywhere, but I didn't stop them or try and protect them from interaction or service within the body. Hey, this is the way it works. This is what Dad does. This is who he is. And this is what we got to do today. Afterwards, we'll go get some ice cream. We'll go play ball. We'll go do something. We'll do that later. But right now, this is what we've got to do. And you guys got to hang tight. Just sit still. And then I have to tell them, no, look, I can see you. I can see exactly what's going on. You know, it was crazy. But you can't stop them from, you don't want to prevent their interaction just because they're young. They can be able to be involved in things. It's a wonderful truth. Being around is what's so important. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Man, just her paternal care. Man, that's so cool. That's so awesome, man. I bet he was stoked every year, you know, just so excited to see his mom show up. And, you know, it never fit, right? Because he'd grow more than she'd think. And, you know, but he'd still be excited, I'm sure. I made that part up, but I just think it probably went that way. You know, how could it fit exactly right? But it's just a cool thing, though. You know, she made him a cool new little robe. And, you know, he'd look forward probably every year to getting his new little robe. She came up every year when she came up with her husband to offer yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord gave you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord." So it's like, hey, God's gonna bless you for what you've given to the Lord. It's a great truth. And then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. You know, it's a truth that we can't escape, and we don't want to miss this opportunity. You cannot, I cannot, we cannot outgive God. Whatever you commit and give to the Lord, you can't outgive God. You can't do it. And God is just so faithful and honors those things. I see their example as parents showing up, going up to worship in their prescribed time, showing up to be a part of the gatherings there. You know, one of the things as we're moving forward in life, this situation here with Samuel is he was developing. He was around, and he was developing in a relationship with the Lord. He didn't have some deep personal relationship with God yet. That's coming. We'll get to it in chapter 3. But right now, in this situation, he's around. He's around the things of the Lord. He's exposed to them, and he's developing. I think that how God can use youth and young people. And I think through when I was thinking about just the kids and different people that, you know, God's using them and God wants to use them. But It's interesting, on the flip side, you've also got Moses, who is 80. And God wants to use everybody. It's not an age thing. It's an availability. Am I available to God? And we're going to really talk about that a lot in chapter 3. So we'll just save that thought. But man, there's so much in that thought about really, truly being available. The other thought is this idea of really developing a personal relationship. There comes a time where it's important. I think it's important to be talking about it regularly. But there's a sometimes they're going to make mistakes and fumble around a little bit. But this ongoing development, you got to develop things with kids, and you got to be telling them, "Hey, man, you need to have your walk with God. You need to have a personal walk with God." And I think that's really important that they have a personal relationship. They're getting to that point where they're going to develop that. It's part of this passing it on. You know, as time goes by, passing that on. Liv, I remember we were sitting on a river and all that my nieces and nephews and stuff and our kids were there. We're sitting up on a river. We had a little family reunion. It was a Sunday morning, so we had having worship and a Bible study down by the creek and on the river. And we're sitting there and just talking and stuff. And the scriptures that the Lord put on my heart was about the heritage that they have in the Lord. And that they have this heritage of a godly heritage, but they can't ride that out forever. They have to develop their own relationship. They're at a crossroad, every one of them at a crossroad, and they have to decide, choose ye this day whom you'll serve. I've already made my, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. I've already made my decision, but when they become a little bit older, they have to choose. They have to decide, are they gonna follow the Lord or are they not gonna follow the Lord? And when you read through this and you see the consequences of what started to happen, I think the other thing is we see, again, just touching on this, is the example that the parents were. The parents came around. The parents were involved. The parents were connected to what was going on. I think that's so very important. Now, Eli was very old in verse 22, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they were just doing perverse things. And so he said to them, "Why do you do such things?" So he talks to them, but he says, "Why do you do these things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them." Basically, judgment was on its way. They were unrepentant and God was going to deal with them. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Maybe listening to the message today, God is speaking to your heart. Here's an opportunity for you to just pray a simple prayer of faith. And just ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. Just pray along with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to be born again, and I want to follow you. I want to ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life, and that you would use me from this day forward for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.